I want us to think today, if you will, about the idea of our thoughts. A lot of religious beliefs that we have around us, right here in Waynesville, there are different religious beliefs, all believing in different ways. People thinking that this is acceptable to God, that the things that they're involved in, and in the name of Christ Jesus, that it's all going to be acceptable by God. And I want us to think about their thinking and where it's going to end up. Of course, we find passages like Jeremiah 10:23, where he says, "I know, Lord, that the way in man is not in himself. It is not in man to direct his own steps." And we need to take that very seriously. For without God, we cannot direct ourselves. We need God and His Word to direct us in every aspect of our lives. And I want us to think about that today, and we'll read Isaiah 55:8 and 9 here in a little bit. But if you will, I want us to look at the idea of the thoughts that people had, examples from the Scriptures, of people's thinking and how God dealt with that. One of the things, and again going back to Genesis, we find in Genesis 3, we find in the Garden of Eden, the one thing that God commanded the man and woman they could not partake of was that tree in the middle of the garden. It doesn't specify what kind of tree it was. It was just a tree in the midst of the garden, and God commanded them not to mess with it, not to partake of it, don't eat of it. Things went well for a long time. But then Satan came in the form of a serpent. And as it says there, that he got Eve to thinking about this tree. And he told her. He said, "What did God say?" Now he knew what God had said. And she told him. She says, "Well, God told us not to partake of that tree. That tree is to be left alone." And he said, "Well, you're not going to die if you partake of that tree." And it gets her to thinking about it. And that's how different religious beliefs get us thinking in the wrong direction. Satan is at the head of that. He gets us thinking and doubting what we've already known from what we read in God's Word. And that's exactly what happened to Eve. She started thinking, "Well, now wait a minute. This will make me wise like God?" And she got to looking at it more and more. Now, prior to that, I would say that Adam and Eve didn't even take a second glance at that tree. But for this moment, we find that Satan has got her focused on that tree and gets her to thinking. And of course, as we read about it, Eve was deceived and partook of that tree. And that's how it happens so many times. We get deceived by the different notions and different thoughts of others, and it brings us to thinking and doubting what God's Word says. Just one word was all it took, and she partook of it. We find Cain, finding that Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. Now, recognizing God doesn't leave anything up to man, especially when it comes to their worship to Him. God has always commanded man and directed him in how they were to worship him. It came a day when God wanted Cain and Abel to worship them, or to worship him. And we find there that Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock, an unmarked, unblemished lamb, acceptable to God, because that was what God had commanded. Well, see, Cain, he was a tiller of the ground. And we find in Genesis 4 that he brought also a sacrifice, but it was not pleasing to God. Why? Because it was not according to God's will. But yet, you've got to stop and wonder, what was Cain thinking about? Why would he think that bringing the fruits and vegetables of the ground, that, and yes, he worked very diligent, very hard at growing these, why would he think that that would be acceptable to God? Again, why is it that there's so many different religious beliefs that have all these different ideas of worshiping God contrary to God's will? and they themselves believe that they are acceptable to God. Cain thought that that would be very acceptable. And I'm sure that Cain was very proud to be able to offer that sacrifice unto God. But we find that God was not. And of course, as we read on, we read about Cain and how that he became jealous of his brother, so angry to the point that he killed his own flesh and blood, his brother. So it just gets us to thinking, why would people think that way? Well, we go a little further. Hit it too many times. And we read in Numbers chapter 20 about Moses. Now you recall Moses was a man that God hand chose to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. This was a man that was thought of very highly by God. A man that God seen was capable of doing what God wanted him to do. And as you read through the stories, you read about Moses and the different things in their wilderness wanderings. We read about the manna from heaven. We read about the rock that Moses smote with his rod and water came forth so that they could have water. And how that how God led them through that wilderness from day to day. Well, there comes a point in Numbers chapter 20 where, again, the people were in need of water. And as we read about the wanderings in the wilderness, we see that the people of Israel, they were very, I guess we could say, very short and became murmuring. All this started and it built up. Have you ever had someone where they've just got into you so much that you get so frustrated that you don't think straight? Moses was told to speak to this rock and water would come forth. But out of his frustration and everything with the people of God, we find that he smote that rock. Now, God went ahead and allowed the water to come forth. But notice there that God was not pleased with Moses and his reactions. Sometimes out of frustration, we don't think straight. And we don't do things that are according to God's will. Here, Moses, he did exactly the opposite of what God wanted him to do. And he was a man of God. And because of that, he was not able to go into the land of Canaan. Now, he was allowed to go into the high mountain and look down over Canaan and to see the wonderful land that God is giving him, but he could not enter in because of his lack of faith. Then we look at another example of Uzzah. Here's a thought where we have to think fast. Now, of course, we recognize here that David was moving the Ark of the Covenant. He was moving it the wrong way. It wasn't according to God's will to start with. He had it on an ox cart. And we find here that they hit the threshing floor, and it was a little rough, a little rugged. The oxen stumbled. And Uzzah, in a split moment, thought the Ark is going to fall off the cart, and he reached up to touch the Ark. Knowing that, as we read in the Scripture, that anyone that touches that ark was going to die. And that's exactly what happened. Sometimes we don't think things through. We don't take the time to think before we react. Here Uzzah, and some may say, well, you know, he just had that split moment, that quick thought thinking that he had to think fast. But it still cost him his life. It's very important that we think things through and think of the repercussions of the results of what we think and put them into action. Uzzah died that day on that road. Then we look at Naaman in 2 Kings and we find there of this great man of valor. He was a commander of an army. One thing, though, he had leprosy from head to toe. We find a servant that told him, said, I know a man that can heal you of your leprosy. So to kind of make the story short here, Naaman went and traveled to that man's house. They knocked on the door. The prophet came out. The prophet didn't even come to Naaman. He just told the servant to tell Naaman to go dip 7 times in the river. Now here's where his thinking comes into play. Naaman did the right thing in thinking, I need to go to this man to be healed of my leprosy. But here's where his thinking went awry. We find here that when the servant came and told him, well, all you need to do is go dip 7 times in this muddy river and you're going to be healed. He was outraged. He couldn't believe it. You know, a lot of people, they look at things and they look at the simple gospel of God's word. How can I be healed of my sin? How can I be cleansed of my sin? And we read about and we explain to them from God's word the simple plan of redemption. And how many times have we heard there's got to be more to it than that? That's too simple. I don't understand the reasoning behind being dipped in the water. That's exactly what Naaman was thinking. Besides that, it's a nasty river. How could anything go in that river and come out clean? He was outraged and he left. Servant made him think again, though. Think about what he's asking you. Is it too much? So many times people don't obey the gospel. Simple gospel to redeem us, to cleanse us of our sins. If we would just think, God didn't make it difficult. He made it easy. For Naaman, it was an easy thing to do. And that's what the servant made him think. It just wouldn't it be just as easy just to go down to this river and let you see what happens. 6 times he dipped in the water. He was still full of leprosy. But when he dipped that 7th time, he came out fully cleansed of his leprosy. But now think if he had never thought again about it, he would have died in his leprosy. So many people in our world today, they read about the simple plan of the gospel. But how many of them are going to die in their sins because they're looking for something much more than just that simple gospel? We think again, look at some other examples. Whenever we look in Acts chapter 3, we find these people there that were crucifying and causing all kinds of havoc. We read about Saul, how he was persecuting Christians. We read in our class this morning, talked a little bit about Saul and how that he held the coats of those that stoned Stephen to death. And we find that there were many that were against Christ and his word and the disciples. Many of them were not believers, did not listen to what they had to say because they were contradictory to what they had all been taught before. And we find there in chapter 13 beginning, it says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. You recall that event. Here Jesus stood before the people, Pilate by his side. Now Pilate had already conversed with him for a little bit, talked with him. Pilate couldn't find anything wrong with him worthy of crucifixion. But here's this other man, Barabbas. He was a murderer. Well, Pilate, for whatever we can imagine, his political gain or whatever, we find here that he left it up to the people. They're all yelling out, crucify him, crucify him, referring to Christ. Well, he thought, well, if I just put forth this thought, I'll give them 2 options. We'll either crucify Christ or we'll crucify this Barabbas, who's a murderer, who everybody knows is worthy of death. And surely that'll sway him toward Barabbas. Well, guess what? Their thinking was already gone. They thought just the opposite. They wanted Christ dead. And so they told them to release Barabbas, a murderer among them. We find as it goes on down through here that Paul made it very clear that, Peter made it very clear here that this person that he had healed, that it was by the power of Christ who they crucified. In other words, your thinking was all messed up there. Or you thought that Christ was a hypocrite or that he was a blasphemer. You had it all wrong. He was none of those. He was truly the Son of God. And then we find there in verse 18, it says, "But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled." In other words, he wants them to kind of draw back from their memory banks a little bit about all the prophecies that were given. When you read back into the Old Testament, as you've gone through your books here, we're just beginning in those books where I attend, and we read about the prophecies time and time again about this coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They had every opportunity to recognize Him for who He was. But yet in their thinking, He was not. He was a blasphemer. So He says there, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come before from the presence of the Lord." Again, we find, whenever we think of Saul, we mentioned him here in Acts chapter 8. We find here a man who truly believed and thought in his mind that he was doing the will of God. That these persecutions that he was causing, that he was a part of, when he held the coats of those that stoned Stephen to death, he truly believed that he was doing what God was pleased with. But what we find out is on the road to Damascus, that was not so. He found out then that he was contrary to God's will. That all of these things that he thought in his mind were wrong. How many times have you read into God's Word and seen somewhere in some verse, some passage that has made you recognize that everything you thought on a certain subject was totally the opposite? God's Word has that power to do exactly that. To change our thinking, to direct us in the right way. And that's exactly what happened with Saul. God directed him in the right way. But if we leave God's Word alone and don't touch it, we're just going every which way. And our lives are just a mess. But when we allow God to direct us, as He did Saul, look at the good that Saul did after God assisted him and got him in the right direction. So many books and letters were written for our learning, for our example, by the hands of Paul. And that would not have been so if he had not accepted the truth of God's Word and changed his thinking on certain things. He was a very high, intelligent man. But yet we find that even he could be changed. In 23 and verse 1 there, he said, "In all good conscience, I have served the Lord up to this day." He thought within himself. Well, that brings us to the conclusion that all had sincere motives. They all thought within themselves that they were doing something that was acceptable unto God. We find in the book of Matthew that it even tells us there, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven." It goes on in the next passage and talks about those who have done many wonderful works. They prophesied in his name. They've done all these things for the cause of Christ. But yet we find that they are not accepted. Why? Because the things they're doing are contrary to God's will. It goes back to the prior verse. There's a lot of people, you know, I don't know how many times I've had people come to my shop and we discuss a little bit of Bible, well, a little bit of time I've got with them. I've got coworkers that I talk with. I truly believe that as long as I believe in God, God is a loving God and God's going to accept each and every one of us. But that's not true. God only accepts those who accept Him and accept His Word. If we don't follow and abide in His will, we are lost. That's the simple truth. But yet we find there are so many that have sincere motives that just do not follow with God's Word. Well, what does that mean? What is it to be learned? Well, we find thinking for ourselves can be very deceiving. Look at Eve. She thought for herself, but yet she was deceived into believing. He added that one word, "You shall not die," and she just took it hook, line, and sinker and accepted it, even though it was against God's will. We find in Luke chapter 2, or 12, in verse 16 beginning, notice there he says, it talks about this ground of a certain rich man. Now this one year was different than other years. It says that his crops came in very plentifully. And in fact, it was so much that his barn could not hold what the crops were. And notice there what it says there. It says there in verse 17, he thought within himself. Here's where he made his mistake. Here's where each and every one of us make our mistakes. Thinking for ourselves. Now, yes, our parents will tell us when we're growing up, you need to think for yourself. Don't let others lead you around. But when it comes to spiritual matters, we should not think for ourselves, but be led by God and His Word. So there's different things to consider there. And here it says, he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? I have no room to store my crops. So he said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to tear down my old barn. I'm going to build this bigger barn. It's going to be big enough to store all of my crops. And within his thinking with himself, he thought, I'm going to live long and I'm going to live in pleasure with great comfort. But what does it say there? We find the Lord calls him a fool. A fool because he put his confidence in something other than God and His Word. He put his confidence in his own thinking and not in God's Word. He died that night. And I've always said, I wonder what his kids did. They all fought over what he had. And that's what happens all the time. But here it says he died, and then whose is all that to belong to? So again, thinking for ourselves, we can deceive ourselves. We need God's assistance. We need to consider also that God's thoughts should replace our thoughts. When it comes to spiritual matters, we need to understand that. Turn your Bibles back over. I told you we'd get to Isaiah 55. And notice there in verses 8 and 9, we find God saying this, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. We can never be like God. We can never think like God. The way that we do things is not like how God would do them. God knows better. His ways are far better than ever we will ever have. As he goes on to say, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And we need to rest assured of that. No matter what Satan tries to put in our minds and thinking that, oh, we've got this all figured out. You know, when it comes to drawing in more people into the worship services, a lot of different groups, including those of the Church of Christ, start thinking of ways outside of God's will. When God's will said the drawing power is His Word and nothing else. So we need to consider that. God's ways are higher than our ways. And for that matter, as our Father in heaven, we should listen to those ways and abide in those ways. Turn your Bibles, if you will, over to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. And we find here that Peter makes this comment. He says that God's Word, His divine power in God, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now let's stop for a moment and just look at that brief thought there. He has given unto us everything that pertains unto life and godliness. Everything. That means that whatever it is in my life, whatever's going on, I can look to God for advice. And God will give me the answers. Whatever it is about spiritual matters that I'm concerned about or that I'm confused about, I can look to God and His Word and it'll be answered. That's what the writer here is trying to tell us. God has given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And of course we find in John 8 and verse 31, again we find some passages here, my time is getting close here, but we find in John chapter 8, and notice here what it says here, in verse 31 and 32, again we find here what he has to say, and Jesus says this, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." How does Christ acknowledge people? How does he notice each and every one of us? Does Jesus acknowledge me or you as one of his disciples? In order for him to distinguish us as one of his disciples, what is it that I need to be doing? Abiding in his word. I was at a gospel meeting last night at Knollwood, and the speaker, Josh Lee, brought this up, and I thought it was very good. He said that, you know, years ago, people of the Church of Christ were referred to as walking Bibles. What has happened to us today? One of the thoughts he brought up was the fact that is there more Bible being read now than 20, 30 years ago? Or is there less? Think about it. The Word of God is becoming less and less in our society. And we recognize that God says that His Word will never be destroyed. It's never going to be taken away. Over many, many years, people have tried to destroy it, tried to do away with it, and have never accomplished that. But in our own homes, how much time do we spend studying and reading God's Word? Gleaning from it. Making changes in our lives that are important so that we can be acknowledged as His disciples. That's what Jesus says here. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We find in verses 43 there beginning, and notice what he says there. He says, "Why do you not understand my speech?" Jesus answers his own question. He says, "Because," notice there, "you are not able to listen to my word." Why aren't they able to listen? He goes a little further. He goes, "You are of your father, the devil." Going back to Eve. What happened to her thoughts? Prior to Satan, her thoughts were pure. Her thoughts are according to God's will. She was abiding in God's will until Satan came along and got her to thinking another way. Satan does the very same thing to us today. Through different devices and different ways, God or Satan is trying to lead us away from God and His Word. And for the most part, he's winning. Now, he won't win out in the end. But which of us is he going to overtake? Which one of us is going to be deceived into believing his lies? And thinking that there's something far better than just what we have here written in God's Word. That's exactly what happened to Eve. Don't let it happen to us. As he goes on to say, he says, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want and do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me," he says. "Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words." And then he goes on to say, "Therefore, you do not hear because you're not of God." That's some sobering thoughts to think about there. Who's leading us around? God our Father is trying to lead us in the right way. That leads unto life eternal. Satan, on the other hand, is trying to lead us away from God, away from eternal life. And of course, as we read in Revelation 20 and 21, talks about that lake of fire. That's the only destination left. We have a home in heaven, or we have a lake of fire. It's our choice. And it's all in how we think about God and His Word, and how we apply it to our lives. I want us to think about this. If we do not pick up our Bibles, I mentioned that earlier. Think about how often you pick your Bibles up. How many days a week do you pick your Bibles up? And seriously sit down and study God's Word. I know for the most part, we probably pick up our Bibles and study our Bible class lessons for Sunday morning, Wednesday evening. But there's more to it than that. We can't rely on that alone. God's Word is there every day. Hopefully, there's more than one Bible in our homes. And there's so much time that we've wasted in other things, other distractions. And of course, we know who's ahead of getting us distracted, that draws us away from God and His Word. How many times have you made plans to sit down and study your Bible, and then all of a sudden a phone call comes up or something on the TV comes, "Oh, wait a minute, I want to watch that." And you're totally distracted from what you originally thought, and that was studying God's Word. God's Word is what approves us. God's Word is that mirror, according to James chapter 2. That when we look into God's Word, we see that reflection of ourselves. Now, what we do with that reflection is up to us. We can either make the necessary changes, or we can just go through life all messed up. But it's up to us. But if we don't open that, we'll never see the reflection. So again, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. It is the power of God's Word. In chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by what? By inspiration of God. Every word was inspired not by man, not by Satan, but by God. And the profit and the benefits of God's Word far outweigh anything else in this world. For doctrine, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be fully complete, able to withstand the devil and his powers. But it's going to take us making that initiative to study our Bibles. And then finally, I thought leads us only to death. Whenever we look at passages and going back over to the book of Proverbs, we find some specific passages that I find interesting as the proverb writer uses there. And notice there in Proverbs 16 And we're going to look at just a few verses kind of throughout that chapter. In verse 2 we find there, notice what he says. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes. Yeah. We may look at ourselves and say, you know what? I'm doing great. Everything looks good. I'm doing everything according to God's will. Are we? As he says here, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Again, is it acceptable to God? My actions, my speech, even my thinking. Is it acceptable unto God? It doesn't matter what I think about myself. What matters is what God thinks about me. That's going to give me the eternal life in heaven that I'm looking for. We find in verse 16, or in verse 9 there, notice there, a man's heart plans his way, but hopefully the Lord directs his steps. Make a lot of plans, but let's stop and weigh it out and see if it's according to God's will before we take that next step. In verse 16, how much better to get wisdom than gold? To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. He's telling us here just how precious God's Word is and how great it is to have that understanding of His will. And then verse 18, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Again, thinking ourselves better than what we really are. And verse 20, he who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Again, that gets away from that I think and what God thinks. We'll be much happier. Your life will be more beneficial when we just let God guide us and put our own thoughts aside. In verse 25, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way that leads to death. Boy, it may seem right, but rest assured, if it's not accepted by God, it's going to lead us to death, the lake of fire. That's my lesson today. I hope and pray that it's been beneficial to you as it is to me. It's always, I always say that when I'm preaching,